There's a meeting for all the ground crew people, volunteers, after this session in the boardroom. Take about 5-10 minutes of your time. Please attend. And if you, it's not too late to sign up, never is. If you want to sign up and join us, there's a sign-up sheet on the board. I think that, you know, you're keeping this property up and all, and not just the grounds, but everything else that's done around here. Does not go unnoticed, certainly by me, and I'm very appreciative of it. But beyond that, I really do believe that this is a witness, a silent one, to people in the neighborhood, or people who observe this property, that the royal family here steps up and gets things done, and they're properly motivated. Now, not that everybody has to. It's just everybody has a place. Everyone has. You find your way. Any whereby you contribute to the place that God has so graciously given us. And I've watched the whole history of it because I've been here. I saw the horse pasture when I came here. Crummy looking barbed wire fence, gravel. But you know, it's perfect. It's where God wanted us, because it enabled us, as we grew spiritually and as our history advanced, we made improvements. We found someone to fix our doors too, so we don't have to spend a bunch of money replacing our doors. Found the right guy. It's not completely done yet, but that one down there, see, there's four doors that we have keys to, but we never come in the side doors with our keys because we set off the alarm. You either have to come in here and disarm it here, or at the northwest door down there by the fountain. Well, that was the lock that was all messed up. So we cannibalized this one here, put it in there because it never gets used. Plus, he did some. He was able to take it apart. He knew how to take the whole thing apart. Pull the glass out, pop it all out. Knew why those handles weren't working. They needed stuff in there. I know I'm boring you to tears. But anyway, it was just an example. You know, you pray about stuff because I love those doors. They don't look like they're a day old. The outside, the bronze around them, and everything they've held up since the 80s. Now, so those are examples to me, and the power of prayer, and people who are committed to doing the things that need to be done. Everyone has their place, and so that is, you know, and it's also an opportunity to be out here, and hopefully have some good fellowship, you know, touch base with positive relation. Of course, if you're not getting along, that's another story. But it's still that's a test. You need to act right around people, and be in fellowship and give them the benefit of the doubt. And if whatever is whatever, you know, just do what you got to do. That's what the Christian life's about. It's about stepping up under doctrine and dealing with what you have to deal with. Instead of woe is me, hands up in the air, all I'm giving up on God. Oh, that's pathetic. That's beyond pathetic. Giving up on God, huh? That'll get you a good way down the road. You know, the people I've observed that have rejected doctrine, who knew it, they're not in a good way. That there's a penalty on top of a penalty for that behavior. Yes, designed to scare you, you know, scared straight. Well, that's the idea. You know, I don't want to go down that road. I'll take all of my adversities, whatever God wants to throw at me in time, versus having a free run out here in the stupidity. Yeah, it's pressures at times, you know. And the normal human flesh thing is you just want to flee your niche and flee everything and go hide somewhere. We have people do runaways all over the world. All right, Brenda wondered how I was going to be able to do these and stretch this out. Here we go. Actually, I didn't want to start up those notes in the middle. I just have this thing about that. Okay, we could spend the whole rest of this hour on food. So I'm your pastor teacher. My job, God help me, and He has, is to help you to know the divine viewpoint so you can break from anything you've heard or you've been raised up in or you've been associated with that's not in accordance with sound doctrine. Now, in First Timothy chapter 4, Paul issues a prophecy. It's a prophecy for the church age. Now, the nonsense that developed in the church age, and I suppose there's always been asceticism, people living in a community of all males, all females, the Vestal Virgins and the Roman thing, and the strict code that they were supposed to adhere to. This became associated with, in the broadest sense of the word, Christianity in the eyes of the world. These are Christians that, or non-Christians, whatever they were individually. I'm sure some of them were saved. It's a mess. They gave heed to these deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. This goes back to why people believe these false systems. They do not. It's tempting to think that men just ginned this stuff up. But they got help. Demonic help. And individuals are the ones through whom this stuff was channeled. And so they hook up with these spirit guides, demons, and information is fed to them. And that's how the whole elaborate Satan knows that down the road a woman's going to give birth to the Messiah. So hey, let's counterfeit that. We're going to counterfeit it. So he did. And so he's trying to provide something that will appeal to people that is pseudo-spirituality. Here, the first two verses, one sentence. By means of the hypocrisy of liars. See, by means of, that's the human element. The demonic element, it's top down. Top down. False doctrine comes. You take a major movement of belief system on the earth that has had under its umbrella billions of people, like Islam. That's just one I singled out, just off the top of my head. Islam. So they got a prophet. They got their own Bible, Quran. Satan is a counterfeiter. Counterfeit scripture, counterfeit ministers, counterfeit religion, counterfeit science, everything. Because he is really good at this. And when you get a lot of people on board with it, he even looks better. Look, well, so many people believe that. That is not ever a criteria. Never be ashamed of the fact, well, I go to a little church. Let them think what they want to think. Let them think all day what they want to think. There's churches that existed, viable ones, were smaller than this one. That's not even the point. The point isn't about numbers. It's about the truth and who wants it. And so far you want it. So here we are. People come, people go. They didn't want it anymore. Men, now here's, their consciences are seared. You can't go into this and have the Bible in front of you. Now, this is dealing with Christian apostasy here, not some others out there. Christian apostasy. Christian apostasy started bringing things in and saying this is what we're supposed to do. They're absolutely, as we know, are absolutely contrary to a simple reading of the New Testament. You can read the New Testament. You can read the Bible. You don't even need me to figure out that we should not restrict certain people and say you can't get married. Or that you can't eat that food product and be in fellowship. This is what they did. It's called asceticism. This we saw it in Colossians. Denying themselves legitimate things and making it look like they're spiritual. And even putting their bodies through hardships unnecessarily. There's enough of them without having to put yourself through stuff. Deprive themselves. As if that will help deal with my sin nature. If I suffer and I won't, it doesn't. It doesn't. Paul says that. You're kidding myself. Men who forbid marriage. Now who would you suppose does that? Okay. Limited to their clergy. Now the Protestant clergy, they all allow their ministers to be married. But in the Catholic system, that's always been the big thing. No priest, none of these people are supposed to have a wife. Where'd they get that? Demons. Somebody, and it sounded good, and they look holy because they've given up sex. Maybe. We'll go set. We'll do choir boys. Unbelievable. See, when you cut off the normal outlet that's a part of normal biological humanity, and you cut that off, these people resort to all this that you constantly hear in the news. It wouldn't solve all of it. There's always going to be perverts of that kind. But the fact is, you could eliminate a lot of it if you just let them get married. See? If you just let them get married. But they abstain from foods that forbid marriage. See, they had this scripture in front of them too. They even had the book of Timothy. These are people that read the Bible. They had the original, they had the text. They could have read this. Oh, but they're going to do it anyway because their consciences are seared, and that's why people step over off into these things. Now, there are examples where individuals don't get married because of their niche circumstances. That was Paul, and he's the one writing this. Peter had a wife. We know that. And then they did it with the women, called nuns, and those orders, of all these different ones. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be greatly shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. If it is received with gratitude. That's your grace over your meager or elaborate meal. That's what that is. Bow in your head, say, thank you, Father, for this hamburger. Appreciate it. Sanctify it to my body. Boom. Go down the road. Makes a big difference. So, you see, there isn't a food, an item that God created that doesn't mean you have to eat everything. It means you can pick and choose. Like you do a lot of stuff. That's your business. You may not like any kind of seafood. You may like, whatever. That's your deal. But if someone else likes it, they're not sinning. I'm not talking about eating healthy. I'm not talking about, not cooking things properly and getting sick. Well, that's just human experience. People figure that out. If you don't completely cook chicken, you're going to get sick. You can pray. Well, you may not, but, there's certain things you want done. And you want them cooked a certain way because that's your palate. That's what you appreciate. But I'm not talking about good health and get into a discussion of, all the additives they've added to foods that are toxins and build up in our systems. I'm not talking about that. This was before they had any of those problems that I know of. They didn't have this mass production of stuff and, preservatives and throw all this stuff in here. It sounds like a good idea. So your bread will last 3 weeks instead of 3 days. For it gets mold all over it. But then you compromise it. But that isn't what I'm talking about here. I'm just talking about, that's your business. You sort that all out. This is, I'm not up here. You could go for days talking about this stuff. That, you know, so many people are sick and all that business. You know, my thing is that, hey, it's diet, stupid. Diet got you there, and diet can get you back out of there. That's just for you to research and figure out. So many things. Diet, bad diet, killer diet, disease-producing diet. Okay, that's another story. Here, we're just saying that everything is created and is good. It gets the good stamp. Now, I'm not going to eat a bunch of that stuff that's out there. You know, it makes me shudder. But if somebody eats that and they go to an Asian open market, like in the Philippines or wherever, and they buy this stuff that is not, you can't find at Whole Foods or Crest, that's their business. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. Well, he was under the law, too. He had to eat a clean bug, clean insect. Couldn't eat an unclean insect. And imagine bringing a sack full of locusts home and grinding them up and making some little cakes out of them. Okay. But to people that do it, you know, if you didn't know what it was, that's good. What is that? Oh, you just ate some locusts. Under the law, there was prohibitions against foods to teach a spiritual lesson. If the Jews had kept their dietary code perfectly and still rejected everything else, they're still going to get sick. Because, you know, they're not following God. So you can eat catfish now. See, all the ones that were scavengers, fish, and the Bible is real simple, you know, what animals' flesh they could and could not eat. Now, I can't imagine anyone eating donkey meat. I mean, good grief. Horse meat, except a dog. But if they do it, they do. Yeah. We just have to recognize that there is no grounds for this. Oh, it sounds good. Another area of thankfulness is people's response to Bible doctrine. John the Apostle said, I get no greater thrill than to hear that my little children are abiding by the truth. That's the number one thing that trips my trigger in the field of happiness, that you people are following the truth. That brings a lot of happiness. And I look at you, and I've seen your history, and I've seen you go through a lot of things. And I know you go through your own set of things, but you look around, others have too, similarly. But you haven't strayed. You haven't said, I'm giving up on God. Or something, that, like some have done. They didn't get their way. One of their friends or relative died or went into reversionism. And you know, it's just, you don't follow that. It's another person. We'll see them on the other side. And they'll wish they'd have stuck with it. I'm up here to try to help you do the right thing at the right time as the proverbial hand has been dealt you. You play that hand out. It's a crummy hand. This is crummy. I'm folding right now. Except it's a winning hand if you do it right. It'll always be a winning hand. Every time. Because you, those of you who I salute, I know what you've been through. I know what you went through. I know how difficult it was. You stuck with the truth. And you can feel good about that today. You did not say to you know what with it. I'm out of here. You could have. You were tempted to. That's fine. Temptations come and go. Ultimate sanctification. Be thankful for the salvation adjustment principle and that you are on track. Those of you who are new to doctrine, you may not reach, quote, technically maturity before the rapture, but you're working at it. That's all counts. Guy walks in here, a person walks in here off the street, and they're positive. Towards the very end, they're raptured out. They get the prize. And they didn't have to do very much at all. They came late to the game, but God's grace allows it. That's a part of the rules. Ultimate sanctification. Yeah, this is ultimate sanctification. Threw me for a second. Now you have to look at yourself like Paul looked at himself. Not as an apostle, but as a human being, believer in time. And this is what you, and you have to live with yourself. That's the hardest thing in the world to do. You've got to live with yourself. With your STA. Where'd that come from? What's going on here? Don't let it discourage you. Wretched man that I am. What would a great apostle who is arguably a mature believer be telling everybody that he's wretched? That's the truth. The truth of the matter is, he fought his STA like the rest of us every day. Who will set me free from the body of this death? This negative. Who will get me away from this? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's for ultimate. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God. And on the other hand, with my flesh, the law of sin. What is he saying here? I'm in and out of fellowship, like the rest of you, wretched men and women. I'm in and out of fellowship. There's no way around it. You can put on a front, but it's there. It's there. And so he say, this whole argument, you know, they like to say, well, this was the way Paul was before he was saved. He was ruled by his STA all the time then. Now he's a believer with information, and he has the law of sin and death over against the law of life in Christ. So you have these two. So we are that kind of a dichotomous entity where we have a sin nature. You know? Be like having a demon whisper in your ear to having the STA. That's what we've got. Those of us who capitulate to it 24/7, we're dead in the water. We're still saved. We're going to heaven. All the bit. And by the way, you can't lose your salvation. You know that, right? You can't lose your SG3 either. God is not so unfaithful. You produced an act of divine good. It's rewardable. He doesn't pull it back. Because you're such a scoundrel now. Because you're negative now. No, so the final judgment seat of Christ will find an interesting collection of people. Somebody with presumably no rewards for a little bit, for a ton of SG3, but no crown. Very little SG3, but the crown. You got all the various options that will come out of that. Now, if I can keep my head on straight and do this to the end, I'll have a lot of SG3. I could have had a lot more. We all know that. We drop the ball. We're under our sin nature. We could have said something encouraging. We could have done something encouraging. One of the things to pray for is that God make me a blessing towards other members of the royal family and to humanity in general, wherever I can, but especially to the royal family. If there's anything I can do for anybody, if I can say anything, so that when someone comes to me with a problem, and you don't hound me with them, I don't mean that way, but you apply the doctrine. But if you do talk to me, you know, about something, I try to help believers where I can, the weak, because there's some people who are spiritually weak and they're new to it. You forget that because you've been here 20 your entire life, there's people that just came here. You got to cut them some slack. They don't know a lot. They're working with it. Now, on the other hand, I know somebody who can come here and really lock in and make phenomenal strides in a year. It's just the attitude, and they're so grateful, and they're listening to it, and they've seen God's blessing already in their life. They saw where they've come from, and they're making the most of it, as far as I can tell. And they haven't had half the doctrine some of you've had exposed to. Believers who serve the plan of God above and beyond. Some believers really step up in a big way. I see it And I when I see it, I say, God bless that person. Thank you for that person. Thank you for what they do. Thank you for my deacons. These guys sacrifice their time. They have to be in a meeting. They have to hear all the good, bad, and ugly. Potentially. And has to deal with it. They could just say, I'm done. I'm done. I resign. I'm going to go, I'll be in church and all that, but I ain't doing it. They take that on themselves. And they serve above and beyond because they've God's put them there. That's the deal. We pray for the thankful for the reality associated with the Eucharist. Next month's the month for the Lord's table. One, spiritual gifts, prayers of others, grace in general, grace giving, past blessings. Surpassing grace, blessings in phase 3. We're grateful that we can earn this SG3, and you can earn it today. You can earn it before you even get it, before you even leave the building, just by being in fellowship and being kind. Is that hard? Yeah, but that person did that. That's all the more the reason you ought to treat them in grace. They are a member of the body. They are a brother and sister in Christ. You will be with them forever. You need to understand this. Oh, it may take a while before you can operate on a civil level. Because the mental attitude sins are killers. Surpassing grace, blessings in phase 3. Bible doctrine and what it provides, of course. Thankful for those who are out there maintaining law and order, if you will. I'm grateful for that. The world, there's a lot of things they do wrong in the world, but there are things that are necessary and essential to maintaining a ordered society that isn't in chaos. And we ought to be thankful for that. Because we're self-serving, right? We're going to pursue doctrine. And we thank you that they keep the criminals away from us. Oh, we get touched every once in a while. Somebody steals something. But we're grateful for that. As nutty as it's getting, more and more, everything's saying we can't sustain this insanity. I mean, I know Christians way back in the day said, I can't believe how bad things are. They're saying this in the 80s. They were saying it in the 60s. In my Fundy Baptist church. You haven't seen anything yet. And so we're in it. That's our test. That's all. That's a corporate test we all share. Bearing up and being patient in the midst of all this lawlessness and injustice. And just plain craziness. The human race would have destroyed itself a long time ago, except Jesus Christ runs history. Not Putin. Not Trump. Not Kim over in Korea. And all the rest of these people that it's like the Animal Farm. I mean, it's just, you just go. And they talk about nuclear weapons like it was nothing. Yeah, it's called, apart from God, it's called the elimination of all life on the face of the earth. They're destroying the Pacific Ocean because of that nuclear power plant in Japan that got compromised in that earthquake tsunami event. And they're pumping that radiation. And they're pumping so much radiation into the Pacific, it isn't funny. There's enough, they call it the plastic area out in the Pacific, where there is so much plastic, like the bottled water plastic and all other kinds of plastic. God's going to destroy them that destroys the earth. We would have destroyed the earth in our greed and our stupidity. We're against weapons of mass destruction. We make all of them. We sell them to people. We just made a big arms deal with Saudi Arabia. We're the biggest arms dealer on the earth. America, not Russia, not China. We are. And we have consistently been. The best enemy money can buy. Because the elite like war. It changes things. Well, they're going to get their rear ends caught up in it. They're building a lot of bunkers right now. Do they know something? Well, if they knew the doctrine, we'd know. They're building these super bunkers to ride out this nuclear war. It isn't going to help them. There's no hole in the ground deep enough. Well stocked and engineered so they can spend a decade or two before. Well, what would be above when they came out? I mean, I'd rather just be on ground zero and get hit. Really? I don't want to die, have my hair fall out, can't eat, and be tortured. You know, I'd rather die right out. Poof. But I don't have to worry about that. We've come this close to all-out nuclear war. And a little event occurred that shut it down. It's called Jesus Christ controls history. That's what it is. He is the Lord of history. It is, thank God, it isn't the maniacs that we're looking at today. Who was the guy that said we need to go to Mars? Oh, we're going to perish. We won't go to... Oh, it was that Hawkins guy. Messed up much? I think he's got a reality check all of a sudden. A big one. Not in a good way either. All right, in the end, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. God likes you to be confident, not a mealy mouth. No mealy mouth stuff. Look how bold some of these psalms and the prayers in these psalms are. I don't mean disrespectful. I mean bold and straight up. You need it. You're in trouble. You got a problem. You go to the throne of grace. And you just keep going to the throne of grace. And you leave it with the Lord. That we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Psalm 55:16. The context, all his enemies are up after him. David had a lot of political enemies. He had a lot of traitors in his government too. Backstabbers. As he said, you know, their words are as smooth as butter. But war's in their heart. They're looking for an opportunity. The dummies. They didn't know what they were dealing with. Of course, they never do they? So in this psalm, his enemies are out doing their stuff. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. That's what I'm going to do. They're out there making their plans to do me in. And when David died, all his enemies were gone. God had cleaned house. And Solomon got it on a silver platter. And I'm talking about some big political enemies he had. Jews. I'm not talking about Gentiles out there. That's another matter. I'm talking about Jews. But they didn't like the way that things were running. They wanted it their way. Power mad. Jealous. All the rest of it. It's only to be expected. And then our verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Heavenly Father, may this study encourage each and every one of us to ramp up our prayer lives. We're going to need it as we get closer to the end. Be with us this day. Bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.